The first drink of the day! 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 Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast. You might notice that the acoustics are slightly different this week. Sounds like we're recording in someone's bathroom. It's very echoey. That's because we're not in a pub. The pub was shut.
Unfortunately.
Not good. Well, it's all the way down there. Shut for refurbishment until Wednesday. So no podcast at the pub. So we're back in the office for this one. Dan's here.
Hello.
Stuart's here.
Afternoon.
And that Mike's here as well.
Hello.
Right, Mike, we had a message. I'll mention this briefly to you. Can we just clear this up? There was a message on our Facebook page. Are you or are you not one half of Diva Fever?
I'm afraid I'm not.
That's very disappointing.
My boyfriend is.
Oh, fair enough. That's good.
No, I think my girlfriend will find that very funny. She was a fan of theirs.
Is that because she's always had those thoughts about you?
She's always worried, yeah.
Okay.
I'm afraid I've not been a member of any camp reality TV show based boy bands since G4.
Well, it's time yet. It's time yet since G4.
Well, I don't want to talk about how that
happened. It's the fact that you know all the names that kills me.
I have to be honest, I've never watched The X Factor. I just know
all the names.
I'm just a popular culture fan.
He's got his finger on the pulse.
I could spend many an hour saying why I despise The X Factor, but we won't go into that.
No.
It's all right. There's a question in here which I will go on many hours about, so don't worry.
Okay, we'll kick off with our quickfire question first. What are the most amusing football injuries you've heard about? I've got absolutely loads here, so I'm going to let Stu go first.
Well, some guy playing in the Swiss League, Paolo Diogo, scored a goal, went to celebrate with the crowd, and as he jumped, his wedding ring got caught on a fence.
Nice.
And it chopped the top of his finger off, and he was booked for excessive celebration. And it didn't have the top of his finger.
And he had to go off because of the claret.
Yeah, because he was in all sorts of trouble.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if he was actually injured, but this is funny.
I'd say losing the top of your finger counts as an injury.
My next one, Berkovic being kicked in the throat by Hartson. That's a funny injury.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I don't know if he was injured from it, but
he was never ruled out.
Because he kicked him in the head. He did miss at least a game. He did.
Brilliant.
Hartson missed a few more.
He had a few little nibbles at him in training, and Hartson just had enough of him and just turned around and punted him
On the day that the press were allowed in, which is why there was video and picture.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably still on YouTube. But John Hartson, by the way, top man. It's good to see him well again.
Hopefully he gets a Welsh job, because they need someone
to kick the players in the face.
Any trouble, Hartson will put the boots to your chops. A bit of gym music at half time.
He can come back at Arsenal, because sometimes we need that.
Yeah, okay, any more, Stu?
Alan Wright, Villa left back, who's very, very short.
Yeah, he's about 5 foot.
He strained his knee trying to stretch for the accelerator pedal in his new Ferrari. And was out for a couple of games due to that. And Casey Keller once knocked one of his teeth out trying to get the golf clubs out of the boot of his car.
It's not even a football injury.
I don't care, that's
a footballer's injury, but it's not football. Mike, you got any?
A couple, yeah. One of my favourites was Richard Wright falling out of his loft.
He features on my list for a different injury.
Yeah, I know the other one. And basically his career never really recovered from that because Nigel Martin got a marching in. But my two that I've got down here are both from pre-World Cup 2002.
Yeah.
Spanish goalkeeper Santiago Canizares, their number one at the time playing for Valencia, but in two Champions League finals. While he was in his hotel room, he was in the bathroom and he dropped his bottle of aftershave. Rather than letting it smash, he put out his foot to try and control it, broke his foot and missed the tournament.
And has barely played for Spain since, because Casillas got in
and that was sort of the end of his international career, really.
Pretty much.
But the other one I've got from then was Emerson, Brazil captain going into the tournament a few days before, messing about in training, went in goal. Broke his arm, I believe, missed the whole tournament, and Brazil went on to win it.
So he didn't get a medal,
didn't get to lift it. Forgotten by history.
Yeah, Cafu was a standing captain, wasn't he? Mm. Have you got any, Dan? I know you come in very, very unprepared for this because you had a mad morning. But
I've had a mad morning. Do you know what? I was thinking of one and then my mind went blank. But the only one I've really got to talk about. And it's not necessarily an injury which is funny. It's just how rubbish footballers are at the moment. Last Wednesday, Carl Lafferty broke his hand in training and then had to miss that game the evening, and he's probably going to be out until the new year. And it's just how ridiculous these players are that they can't play through. I mean, at the end of the day, he's not a goalkeeper. He should just be able to play. Just strap it up.
They can cast it, can't they? They've got a sports cast on.
Eric Cantona celebrating with his cast.
Yeah, I've seen so many different sports who just go
like
play through
broken
the
noses. Full
face mask. Oh, no, my hand hurts a little bit. Oh, I can't play. But no, the one I was actually going to say was Ryan Giggs. If you actually remember, Ryan Giggs, in his early 20s, kept on having hamstring injuries, and they called it that it was like the boy wonder syndrome, the same thing they're talking about Fabregas at the moment, and actually wasn't. It was because he kept on changing his car, and because it was always his left, and the clutch in the car was always stiff because he always had a brand spanking new car.
It's a bit like Alan Wright,
and he missed a lot of games just because, and they worked out it was his clutch. He then went to having an older car and keeping it for a while, and his hamstring problem stopped.
So the secret to being a top professional footballer, get a full fiesta, some bang on.
Get a proper old banger with a really loose.
Especially if you're Alan Wright.
Yeah, I guess the answer is treat your. If you're a top professional footballer, treat your cars like you treat your women. You want them old and loose.
There you go. That's a bit of
the clutch, I mean.
There's a bit of relationship advice from Dr. Ferdinand.
Score it, mate. I know you've got about 10,000.
I've got loads. Thierry Henry of Arsenal, obviously, after scoring his winner against Chelsea in 2000, he celebrated in a corner and needed treatment after hitting himself in the face with a corner flag. It's quite a good one. Perry Groves, also Arsenal.
Come on, mate.
Arsenal featured Groves, legend. Yeah. Absolute legend, Perry Groves. And this, he's got loads of stories. He's very good on the after-dinner circuit. He was on the subs bench. He hadn't even played a game for Arsenal at this point. I think he was quite new to the club. So he was on the bench for a game in the 80s, leapt up to celebrate a goal that Arsenal scored, smashed his head against the dugout roof, knocked himself clean out cold, and Gary Lewin had to revive him in the dugout. Right, so there's that one. Sven Grøndahlen, who's a Norwegian international, had to withdraw from an international match after he had an accident when he was out jogging, which is fair enough. Accident was a bit weird. He collided with a moose.
Nice. I like that.
I think they were playing chicken to see who'd stop.
All animal collisions are good. You don't mess with mooses, I tell you. Well, if you go out in Rochester, there's a fair chance you probably will.
Ooh.
Chick Brody, the former Brentford goalkeeper, his career was finished after he had a collision with a dog that had invaded the pitch. So it was quite a good one. The dog runs into Chick Brody, knackers him, career over. Alex Stepney, the goalkeepers. Alex Stepney,
United
legend. Dislocated his jaw in a match by shouting too hard at his defenders. He shouted so hard he dislocated his own jaw.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yep.
That's fantastic.
I've got more. Milan Rapajic of Hajduk Split missed the start of the season after sticking his boarding pass in his eye at the airport.
See, as I say it again,
stupidity.
That's another one.
Useless.
Jerome Boateng getting his leg done by the drinks trolley on the plane in the summer.
Here's possibly the stupidest one: Darius Vassell. If you're squeamish and you know, especially if you're eating, put whatever it is you're eating down because you might not want to listen to this. In 2003, he was at Villa, and he had a blood blister under his nail of his big toe.
Yeah.
And being someone who's had operations on his feet before, he knows the score. If you've got a blood blister under the nail, you have to drill a hole in your nail so that you can drain the blood out of your blister, right? You go to the doctor for this.
No, he didn't.
He got a power drill out and decided to do a bit of DIY surgery on his own foot.
The problem was the drill bit was like 20 millimetres and it went through his toe.
So, other than sort of knackering his own foot, he managed to drain the blood out, but he got an infection because obviously I'm very much doubt that the drill was sterile.
Do Black and Decker do hypodermic
fittings? I don't think they do. Maybe there's a gap in the market there for stupid footballers.
He's got to have been bloody bored.
But yeah, so he injured his toe, clearly, and picked up an infection and needed to have his toenail removed after that, which obviously meant he was out for even longer. Stalybridge Celtic goalkeeper Mark Statham missed a game after trapping his head in a car door. That's a good one as well.
That sounds more like his wife put his head in the car door.
Sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it? And the other one, two more. Darren Barnard, this is probably my favourite one, slipped on a puddle of his new puppy's pee, we think. It might have been a turd. Depends which website you find this on. It's either a turd or a pee. But he slipped on it on his kitchen floor, did his knee ligaments, kept him out for 5 months.
Did he keep the puppy?
No, that puppy would be dead.
This would podcast is sponsored by the RSPCA. And the final one, Richard Wright, we mentioned earlier, he injured himself during the warm-up for an FA Cup game, Everton against Chelsea. He twisted his ankle, landing on a wooden sign in the goal mouth that says, please do not warm up in the goal mouth.
Right, he deserved that.
So there you go. So we've got quite a few there.
I've got one more.
Dan's got one
it's
more.
It's actually the best one ever.
Okay.
It's Arsenal, you reminded me. I don't know how I forgot. Mr. Steve Morrow. Celebrating his winning goal in the League Cup final. He was the hero of the moment. He pretty much didn't do a lot in his career, but you know, scoring a winning goal in the League Cup final is right up there. Being picked up by Big Tony, the captain at the time, up to his shoulders, and then he proceeded to drop him and fractured his
horrible,
he landed right on his shoulder, broken it, missed the FA Cup final, the rest of the season, the FA Cup final.
And then his career went off the rails and he went to QPR, didn't he? Yeah. Weekend review will probably be a bit quicker than normal because a few games were off this weekend. So I'll just get my ones out of the way.
No games.
Gillingham didn't play because I got knocked out of the FA Cup by Dover and it was an FA Cup weekend. They had a week off.
Day of training, which is probably a good
thing. Takes their unbeaten run to 9 days. The team that beat us, Dover, did all right. They played all the shot and knocked them out 2-0.
Who's they getting the next round, by the way?
They're Huddersfield away.
Absolute
pig of a draw for them.
I can't believe
Adam Birchall, man of the tournament, he's scored 11 goals in the FA Cup already.
Oh, yeah, that's a Dover guy, right?
Yeah.
He's scored twice.
He banged one in from about 25 yards on Saturday. Really good goal.
Why don't you sign him?
Because, well...
He's too good for Gillingham.
Well, our assistant manager let him go from Barnet because he said he wasn't up to it. I suspect we'll want him, but I suspect we can't afford him because it's only off paying and we got nothing to piss in. So
No beans at all.
Why don't you fans cough up?
We did that for a player last season, and we paid for this player to turn up on loan, who proceeded to get injured after 41 minutes.
Who was that?
Scott Vernon, striker. He looked really good for us, got injured on 41 minutes at MK, and then got sent back, and that was it. But the deal that we'd done, being the brilliant business unit that we are at Gillingham, we paid all his wages for the 3 month loan up front.
Clever.
That's fans' money down the drain.
Yeah, so that's all gone. We did have half an eye on a featured game, which was Colchester, who won our first featured game. They beat Bradford in the first round. This was second round. They played Swindon Supermarine, who we mentioned in a previous show.
It's a shame. I wanted to follow the Supermarine.
That's all done and dusted. Colchester won 1-0. David Mooney scored in the 21st minute. And that's pretty much it. So Supermarines are out of the FA Cup, but they had a good run. I think Dover are probably the lowest ranked team.
FC United.
Yeah, but they've still got a replay to get through, haven't they?
Mere formalities.
But best of luck to them. No, we like seeing the small teams get through.
I'm just a bit upset they didn't get United a chance at United.
Or at least City or Liverpool would have been good.
I suppose FC
any
United
team in the greater Manchester area would have been
alright. Yeah, true.
Rochdale would have been a bit of a disappointment.
They've already knocked them out.
Oh yeah,
they've already played them and already knocked them out.
So. Oldham, stop.
What was the? What's their ground like?
It's
Gig Lane,
Berry's ground.
Oh, did they?
They're building their new 5,000 seater one that they got permission for this week in Newton Heath.
Bloody hell. Newton Heath, isn't that they'd make a mint if they went to United in an FA Cup game.
The thing is, if they went to United, the fans wouldn't want to go. I heard some of their fans on the radio saying, the reason that we're not supporting Man United anymore is we refuse to go in, pay the prices, and fund the Glazers.
But yeah,
because it's the FA Cup,
you split it by half.
Split, yeah. So there's a little bit of flawed logic there, but I can understand that
a lot of them are still United fans. While they don't go, support the team, so it's still going to be a wrench.
Well, yeah, you support the team. It's a good protest in the sense of they've created their own club. They're just not giving them money. Yeah. They're still their team, which is fun.
Mike, United.
To start with, on the United section, I've got a little bit of Stu's news. It was from Saturday morning's papers about Dimitar Berbatov being average and leaving us.
That's what I said at the start of the season.
Obviously a brilliant weekend. Yeah. 5 goals for Berbatov. He had that header that Robinson saved very well, but I think we'll let him off.
Speaking of Robinson, can I just mention, he was supposed to be the panellist on Match of the Day 2 last night and he bottled it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like he bottled his England career.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Well, you know, you when stuff like that happens, you just got to front up, hold. Because you can't blame the goalie when you lose seven. That's a bit harsh.
He did make
the back four are
saves.
Partly to blame for this.
No. But the rest of the ten are partly to blame.
Pascal Chimbonda's pretty much to blame.
They were.
But yeah, so letting seven didn't pitch up, so they had to. I think they got DJ Campbell. DJ Campbell with his neck tattoo.
He really isn't very interesting.
And
his gold
teeth. So he turned up.
No, let's talk more about United going top of the league.
Top of the league by 2 points. Rooney back on form. Anderson and Nani looking very good. Raphael getting better. Liverpool in the cup. West Ham in the League Cup. It's all going quite nicely at the moment.
Was it the first goal? Was that Anderson kind of diving in on the keeper?
Yes.
Did you not think that was a foul?
I did think it was a foul. Yeah, a blatant foul, but.
It was at Old Trafford.
I'm not going to complain.
No, not at all. Obviously, that was the turning point of the game.
Yeah, that if had that not happened, I think Blackburn were probably going to go on and win it.
I would have said,
to be honest.
that's what Allardyce would say.
But yeah, we need 7 points, I reckon, for our next three games because we've got Blackpool, then Arsenal, and Chelsea. And then if we get that, I think we'll be in a good position.
Us, mate.
I think we'll be in a good position to win it, especially because Arsenal and Chelsea play each other over Christmas. So,
big games coming up.
In other news, we've also signed a new Danish goalkeeper called Anders Lindegaard, who Peter Schmeichel said is not good enough for United, so that'll be interesting.
Great.
Another one in a long line of iffy United goalkeepers.
While we're on United, I've just got really one question, because you've mentioned goalkeepers. Yeah. Why the hell have they not just signed Kasper?
Because
he's actually a good goalkeeper.
He's a good keeper. I'm not sure he'd be a great one. I'm
the
not
pressure
sure.
on
the
him.
The pressure,
to,
yeah.
You know, I think signing when he's sort of late 20s, early 30s, and he's properly established, because he'll jump at the chance of joining United, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And I don't think getting him to the club would be particularly difficult. I think getting him in now, the weight of it. Do you remember when Jordi Cruyff pitched up at United? Yeah. He was a decent enough player, but he was
actually quite well.
His dad was one of the best ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and he wore Johan's number as well.
Yeah. He actually scored quite a few goals for Jordi Cruyff. He just always got injured, and
they signed him and Pavorski at the same time.
Yeah.
He was a fantastic player. Wasn't he?
Lovely hair.
Yeah. Great hair. He looked like Sally Gunnell. Anyway,
we could probably make a team of players that like Sally Gunnell.
Forlan's in there. Although he also looks
Ray
like Michael.
Parler.
He also looks like Michael Bolton.
He does not look like Michael Bolton. Michael Bolton has cut his hair. Michael Bolton has cut his hair. Talk to Stuart about QPR.
Talk to us about QPR.
Good weekend.
Did alright, wasn't it?
Not too bad. Rivals Cardiff. Nice 2-1 victory. I thought when we went 1-0 down, we were going to panic a little bit. We looked a bit ropey in the back four to begin with. Kasper Skorg's obviously the mistake to let them through. Although, reading. What was it? Wales on Sunday, I think, stupid like that. They're absolutely raving about Bellamy's goal. It wasn't that hard, was it? All they had to do was hit the back of, like, he just had to hit the target.
Yeah.
It was him and Paddy Kenny. There was no way he could have missed that. So
I don't know, Paddy Kenny's pretty fat.
Oh, mate, I was going to say, I was just waiting for it to finish.
So I'm so happy to beat them 2-1. 5 points clear, going into the Christmas period.
That would have been a bit close. Would it have been level, or would Cardiff have gone top if they won that game?
Yeah, so yeah, looking forward to the next couple of games, and obviously going into Christmas period, we'll be busy. Blackburn away in the FA Cup.
Winnable.
Yeah, but you're going to play your reserves.
Neither team.
I think we want it less than them, because we need to concentrate on the league. We haven't got good enough players to go to Blackburn, get injured, and then carry on in the league. So,
yeah,
lose that if possible. Nil, please.
quick question. Norwich actually destroyed Ipswich. Yesterday.
They look very bad at our place. When Norwich come to our place, they look very good at all.
So you're not particularly worried about that chasing pack?
Nope. We've beaten.
Very confident, isn't he?
I know, yeah.
We've beaten Cardiff.
This is weird, because if you'd heard him during the World Cup, he was not confident.
It's because all this Jamie Mackey bullshit. I think he's proved all his critics wrong, isn't it? But yeah, no, we've played most of them teams in the top six now, so we still haven't lost, so got to take positives from that. Went away to their place and drew, didn't we? Yeah,
the last minute equaliser, I think, in that game.
That was last minute equaliser, don't we?
Yeah, they're used to that.
Abel Turab, his goal was mustard.
See, the problem
I don't know how he got the curl on it from under his foot.
No.
In January, I believe there's a clause in his contract that we have to sell him if an offer comes in, because Tottenham are due maybe like 50% of his fee.
Pardon you, Dan.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting in January to see what happens.
I'll just make a point on that. I do hate it when players, like, he was rubbish at Spurs. QPR got him over, played a few games, played well, signed him, played mustard, captain. Like, if he
Warnock's
leaves now,
spent a lot of time on him. Warnock's spent a lot of time on him. obviously they generally quite like each other. Tommy Smith goes on about how frustrating he is. Every player in that team will say he's frustrating, but obviously on the other hand he's amazing at the same time.
We spoke about this earlier, didn't we? He's one of those, I think he'd be a mug if he made a move to the Premier League club, because I just think he'd be a bit part player. He'd have a few games he'd do alright, and then he'd go missing. He'd go missing in a couple of games, and you can't do that in the Premier League.
Yeah, but at the moment we've got Derry and the little kid called Furling that will just protect him. Anyone who goes near him, they're like,
that whole team is designed around his flair.
Yeah,
which is fine. And
we've got Pacey beside him, and Ilchi can just pick up
Mackie Smith, and then obviously Hulse up front being a battering ram, and it's all designed around him. If he moves to another club, bigger. Or a Premier League club, he's just going to be either a bit part.
He'll get targeted as well, and players will know to shut him down as well. Dan, Arsenal.
Yeah, and we're actually going to talk about him this week. I thought we were going to do what we did last week, 2-0 up, so to let a goal in. I can safely
you got
say,
Carlos Mesmer, my brother-in-law, he loved it last week. Big Spurs fan. Bo would have absolutely loved it. He'd have been jumping around like a nutter.
Well, you know, what are you going to
just do? As he probably was yesterday, actually, at the Liverpool game.
Yeah, but don't get me started about that as well. But anyway, yeah, it's I think probably the biggest thing to take out of the game is we scored straight away after they did, which was really important. But we can't keep relying on that to happen. We're nicking goals here and there. We have got to tighten up at the back. It's actually now become not the goalkeeper.
Any goal or no goalkeeper errors?
It's like he's been brilliant. Actually.
He's done really well.
He seems to click in. But now, instead of them protecting him like they did when he wasn't playing well, they're giving him stupid things to do. Or having said that, though, Carew was clearly offside. On the premise that Fabianski had to look around him, and Carew's not a small player.
He stood right in front,
He stood right in front of him. But that's just I think he's offside. That's not from a Gooner's point of view. That's just he should be offside. But I understand why he's not, as far as the rules are concerned.
Yeah.
But I do hate the rules.
Can I just mention something I saw from Arsenal this weekend? And I think it was Skrilacci.
Oh God,
he's a centre back. Yeah,
supposedly
he's a centre back. Now centre back's supposed to be the biggest, hardest buggers in your side.
Not true.
The most girly piece of diving play acting I've ever seen. Someone slid in. It was one of them where a leg goes either side, and he caught him, fair enough. But he went down, he gave it the full dying swan, the arms were up. He rolled around for about 5 minutes, wouldn't go off the pitch, and then he was just up running around like spring lamb. I was like, don't be such a tart. You know, you're playing in England, you're a centre back.
Well, be honest, I'd have him shot while he was down, but we've probably got a little bit of a problem there, but we've always have done since Wenger took over. It's not as big as a problem as we've had. I mean, Perez was renowned for liking to dive on the floor. But yeah, it's one of those. I'll tell you what, but yet again, I was really impressed with Villa. I think if the Villa fans actually stay patient, that team is going to really come together. That band in centre midfield is absolutely mustard. He actually very much reminds me of Jack Wilshere, although he's Scottish. But the British football does. Everyone keeps saying British football's terrible. There is a few young players really coming through, and you've got to get the team around them.
Villa are giving him a chance. They're on the other side.
And Clark is meant to be a centre back, but he's playing midfield just to score
twice.
Didn't he? Scored twice. Well,
you got Albright who didn't play, but
He's coming through. Hogg.
I think he looks good. He looks very good.
Hogg as well has played recently, and then they've got another kid who came on some Australian, so I probably don't care about him. But but yeah, they're doing quite well. And Arsenal, it's the biggest problem for Arsenal is we've lost three games at home we should not have lost. I know Spurs, I would have taken a draw before the game, but 2-0 up at half time, and the two promoted teams, we'd be clear at the top of the league. That's where we should be. But I suppose Chelsea and United can say exactly the same thing. There's games that they should have done better in. So
teams are losing more games at the top of the league these days.
Or drawing them in our case.
Well, yeah, I think Chelsea won the league last year having lost the most games of any winning side in Premier League history.
Yeah, and so, I think that'll be broken this year.
And unless United go on it, because they're not
losing. I think the draw.
They're dropping the points. They're dropping the points, but they're not losing, and that's probably better for your psyche if you're only drawing rather than losing. So, but yeah, all right, we'll move on to our Movember 11. This was inspired mainly by me watching the Old Farm Derby this weekend between Norwich and Ipswich.
Is that a derby?
Of course it's a derby. Who else are they going
to
have
a derby
with? To
be fair, they are in different counties.
But they hate each other. They're just desperate for rivals, aren't they?
Look at me, I'm a Gillingham fan.
We had to play Dover to get a derby match, and then they went and bloody beat us. But anyway, Yeah, it's a proper derby match. If you've seen the crowd, it was a proper
that
derby
was,
match.
Mate, that was a derby.
Great atmosphere. Never. Great atmosphere. And Grant Holt scored a hat-trick in that game, accompanied by a quite fantastic Ron Burgundy moustache that he had going on.
It was fantastic.
For Movember. I think it's for cancer charity, isn't it, Movember?
Yes, prostate and testicular cancer. There you should check, have it checked out.
There you go.
You should.
More from Dr. Ferdinand.
I could explain how to do it as well. That's not the prostate one. You need a doctor for that. Or a very willing girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Probably going out.
No, that's staying in. Right, so we're picking 11 players, hopefully in some sort of position, with prominent facial hair. I haven't stuck to just moustaches because it proved quite difficult. So beard or tash, goalkeepers. Mike, who you got?
Rene Higuita.
Oh, good shout.
Colombian goalkeeper, yep. Bit of a nutter, scorpion kick, runs to the halfway line. Lovely moustache to go with his bubble perm.
Like it.
Bubble perm.
Who have you gone for?
Seaman.
I've gone for the Seaman. He was the only one I could think of, but yeah. Higuita's a good shout. So we've got two goalkeepers, that's not bad. Mm. Another one who's on my subs bench, because I've actually got subs as well.
Oh, whoa. What about me?
Oh, you're piping up now, having said you didn't do any flipping prep.
I didn't do any prep, but I like Higuita. I think that's a fantastic option. But I don't want you to put Seaman in just because I think that's a fantastic option.
No, it's all going in. It's a squad, Dan.
Well, you get two goalkeepers.
It's a squad.
I think Arsenal will still concede.
I've gone for, as another goalie, Carlos Roa, who had that.
Oh, yeah.
Who had that tash thing going on as well. Back four, who have you got at the back?
Right back, I've got the best moustache in the West, Gary Neville. Just for his... prepubescent attempts at moustaches. Exactly.
It's bum fluff. Does
brilliant.
Count?
His prepubescent attempts
when?
At moustache.
Now or?
Always.
It's like 5 o'clock shadow.
Says it
best.
All that you can't
at
notice
best.
It.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is
that,
it one of those?
That Alison woman who just got voted off I'm a Celebrity had more facial hair than me.
Oh, is that another crap programme you watch?
I have to watch it.
It's fair, Sean Ryan.
Carry on.
Yeah. Good lad.
Definitely.
I'm just going for a back four. I didn't really care where they play. They just
okay.
Four people to play at back. Well, Abel Xavier.
Abel's out, yeah, died as well.
Oh. Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a bit more sad news then.
No, apparently. Abel Xavier, who's very much still with us, we think. Yeah,
Melberg.
Yeah, proper beard.
Yeah.
Proper beard.
Yeah. That's,
that's
good
the old man's
that's
beard.
That's a fantastic beard.
That's a proper, like, deep sea fisherman's beard.
And he was a good fellow, Melberg. Didn't he buy all the Villa fans on his last game his shirt or something?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think
he bought them something.
Yeah, because I think they were away somewhere and he bought them all the new away shirt.
Yeah.
That's very nice, isn't it?
Well, he just signed his bonus for getting down to Juve.
Yeah, Kerching. Yeah.
Metzelda.
Yeah.
He's got a ridiculous beard.
He has.
And Alexi Lalas.
Oh, yes.
Lalas made mine back for as well. Lalas made mine back for as well. Who else have you got in yours?
I've got Lalas and Philly Albert at the heart of defence.
Oh, his little Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, brilliant. And my personal favourite player of all time at left back, Trifon Ivanov, the Wolfman of Bulgaria in the 90s.
The scariest eyes in
constantly
football.
Looked ill, constantly looked like he was going to bite somebody. Fucking powerful free kick, pardon my friend.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He looked like a man who hadn't. When I went to uni, I shared a flat with a guy who looked a bit like Trifon Ivanov. Only this guy, he was a cross between Trifon Ivanov and The Undertaker.
Nice.
He was about 6'5", but his eyes were very, very similar. And he just lived on Pro Plus and Red Bull. He never slept, this guy. And that's pretty much what
plus he was all other energy drinks.
Are still, energy drinks. Yeah. Power Horse, my particular
all
favorite.
Available at your local supermarket.
Yes. Yeah. I've got two others. Kenny Sansom is my left back. Daniel probably.
Shocking moustache.
Yeah, he was
and
one
it
of
wasn't
the few,
November.
And he kept it, didn't he? He persisted with it. And Brian Kilcline.
Yeah.
Killer Kilcline. He was, he had the lot. He started off with the big bushy ginger tash. Then he went for the big bushy ginger tash with the curly mullet. Then he went for the big bushy ginger tash, curly mullet. And the wispy sort of Merlin style beard arrangement, which I think at some point may have had a little elastic band around it.
Nice.
I don't know.
I've just thought another goalkeeper, Bruce Grobbelaar.
Of course. Yeah, how can we miss Bruce? That's nuts. Midfielders. Mike, who have you got?
I have gone for Ricky Villa.
Yeah, he's on my bench actually. I picked him.
Carlos Valderrama, another Colombian.
Of course, he's got a tash.
A lovely moustache, but with brilliant hair as well.
I was about to say, you sort of, you know, the attention's diverted away from the top lip due to the huge I don't know what you call it.
It's not an afro.
It's and like a frizz, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like when a pink panther gets out of the washing machine.
It's a big perm.
It looks like that, but in sort of orange.
And then in the centre of midfield, to try and reinforce the idea of moustaches being hard and manly rather than a bit diva fever, I've gone for Joey Barton and Graham Souness.
That's a fair old pairing.
Yeah.
Souness.
They'd stay out of trouble.
I've got Souness.
Okay, that's good enough, because Barton did. Is he before the start of the season, he did it until they won, didn't he?
He said he'd grow it until they win. And they won quite quickly.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident Jude's going to put other players wanting to get rid of it.
All right. Steve.
I've gone for Giggs, just because I think he was always trying to grow a beard. It's just all his hair grows elsewhere.
Giggs can't shave, can he? Well, he can, but he's still got the permanent.
He always looks like he's due a shave, but doesn't really bother.
Apparently the problem is he's always getting new razors and they're too tight, so pull them off and
dislocate his jaw.
Yeah.
Gattuso.
Yeah, good beard.
Baggio.
Oh, yeah. Baggio.
Yeah, he had a little goatee for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
With the rat's tail.
Yes.
And the rat's
and
tail.
And Beckham, just because he always has something on his face, doesn't he?
Yeah. I've got George Best, who in his later years sported a quite magnificent full-on beard, almost in the Melbourne class.
You could be it.
The greatest bearded footballer ever, Socrates.
Oh, yeah.
Genius footballer.
He played, he's 56, and he was playing in 2004, wasn't
he? He pitched up for Garforth United, quit after about 20 minutes.
Yeah, and sat on the bench smoking.
Sat on the bench having a few silk cuts. Yeah,
or and, another reputable.
Yeah, all other. Well, you know, smoke aware and all that. Souness I've got, and my favourite mustachio player ever, Roberto Rivellino, had the hardest shot I have ever seen in my life. I'll find a YouTube clip of him in the 1970 World Cup. There was a 9-man wall for a free kick. 9 men.
He just put it through,
and he just bent it round them.
All right.
And there was another free in the World Cup after 1974. Similar sort of arrangement. Big wall. Brazil put one man in the wall in the middle, and all he did was leant forward, and he hit it through the gap, bottom corner. Unbelievable goal. I'll try and find them and put them on.
You think how much they'd earn if they played now?
Well, Rivellino. I mean, if you think like best free kick taker in the world now, I mean Cristiano Ronaldo will be one of them. But he basically just runs up and leathers it, doesn't he? And relies on the way the ball's made to move. Rivellino could bend it through tyres. If you hung a tyre from the flipping crossbar, he'd bend it straight through. No trouble at all. Brilliant player. And up front, the kings of mustachio striking, Ian Rush, John Aldridge. That'd be my pair. Hmm. Rush and Aldridge. Who have you gone for, Steve?
Rush and Cisse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he experiments with his facial hair. He does all sorts of things.
Yeah, he's experimenting with artificial limbs as well. Legs like a bloody banana.
Oh, that's a bit hard.
Yeah, it's true. Twice the same leg.
Who have you got for?
Well, I was going to go for Rush and then a slightly out of position George Best, but I think I'm actually going to replace Bestie with Rudy Voller.
Oh, Voller, yeah.
Bestie could play up front,
though. Bestie could play anywhere.
Bestie could play anywhere. Played left back, he still scored 20 years.
Yeah. Other names I've got Junior, who played at the back for Brazil, he had a good tash. Derek Mountfield, who's a bit before our time, he sort of played in the early 80s. Everton centre half with a proper British Airman moustache from LOLO, one of them. Melberg, Alan Cork, do you remember Alan Cork? Sheffield United. He grew his beard, he started growing his beard for the FA Cup run, and they got all the way to the semi final. And he scored in the semi final, which they eventually went on to lose to Sheffield Wednesday. But he didn't just have a big beard, he bald as a coot, but he had a great big beard. It was grey as well. It looked like Captain Birdseye was playing for him. It was brilliant. Ricky Villa, Dennis Mortimer, any Villa fans out there of a certain age will remember Dennis Mortimer. We'll talk about our adopted teams now. Dan, have you got anything on Barclays?
No, probably didn't play. I don't think they played, to be honest, because it was quite frosty this weekend.
It was very nippy. Peterhead didn't play either, not because of the weather.
No.
Because
couldn't get a ref.
Couldn't get a ref. Referees had a strike in Scotland, so only the SPL games, due to they basically flew in refs from Luxembourg and all this.
Israel.
Luxembourg and
Portugal.
I bet the Israelis rocked up and went, "What are we doing here?"
Well, two of them came over, looked, and went, "No, we're going back."
A lot of people do that with Scotland, though, don't they? But apparently, the Israelis, they didn't tell them the reason for the strike.
No, and then when they found out, they said, "Okay,
we wouldn't have done it.
We're going back."
They're not crossing the picket line.
Yeah, but apparently some of them only found out after the game.
Well, no, because the Polish said, "We'll come over," and then they said, "Well, why are they striking?" They told them, they went, "Oh no, we're not coming over for that."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So no pizza head this week. So only the SPL and the Alba Challenge.
Is it just a weekend strike? Just out of interest?
Just for this weekend, I think.
Sounds like our tube system.
Surprisingly, Michelover Sports don't have undersoil heating.
What?
So the Northwich Vicks game is off at the weekend.
Excuse me?
I know, yeah, I was shocked too. We've got Buxton at home tomorrow night, which is probably also going to get called off.
The water's
going to be good, lad. 110%.
That would be a good game as well, because Buxton are another promotion challenger, but...
Of a new Stuart.
Oh, that's the worst joke ever.
Okay.
He said the water would be good, though.
I don't know.
It wasn't deserving. Deserving of a repeat.
To be honest, they're playing the game in Northwich, so the water won't be good. It'll be brown and factory stained.
Oh, fair enough.
Factory stained.
Tell us about the Graschat.
The Graschat. No losses in three. They drew at home to Vitesse.
Vitesse
Arnhem.
Go on, then.
Not a bad side. Well, no, not
they,
great.
They used to be all right.
Raymond van der Hauge used to play for them.
Yeah, they're below the Graafschap in the league. But, yeah, no, 1-0. Apparently, there was nothing really to report home to. Mm. And then next up, FC 20. The Super Farmers. But they are looking a bit more comfortable mid-table.
20 are the champions, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Dutch champions.
Yeah.
So,
but, yeah, 5 points from relegation and five teams clear. So things are looking up good to Graafschap at the moment. And Jim has asked me to say Riverside and Hastings both postponed due to frozen pitches.
So your game, your Super Farmers game, was the only one from all our teams that actually played.
Yeah,
so that's good. So the Dutch obviously not
and obviously
suffering.
Riverside is still waiting to play for the first time in our sponsored kit.
Yes, and we're going to get photos of that, aren't we, when they eventually do. Good news. Right, okay,
I'm so excited.
Hold that excitement, because it's Stu's news time.
Oh,
Dan's he's at fever pitch. Look at him.
Can't help himself.
Dan, yeah. Sit down.
I can't help myself.
Yeah, put it away, Dan.
A new show in the northeast called Look North. It's presented by Dawn.
By who?
By a lady called Dawn.
Okay.
And this week, Dawn was outside St James's Park.
Yeah.
And a predictable bunch of jammy-faced local kids were jumping up and down in the background. And then it's cut back to Dawn, and then in a moment, said Dawn, I'll be giving you details of a competition where some special kids will win. And she turned round, looked at the kids and said, not like these, they're more like special needs.
Oh, dear.
Nice.
Oh, so Look North no longer can we get by Dawn.
Dawn has since apologised.
Is there
Dawn
YouTube?
Dawn has since apologised.
Has she?
Yes.
Yeah, is there YouTube?
It's got to be on there somewhere, isn't it?
We've got to find that. That's
I'll go back to my desk and look.
That's got to be there. That's got to be there.
I've got a couple of bits of Stu's news for you as well. The first one is... from the Cornwall Mining League Division 1.
Yes, 55-0.
55-0. Ilogan RBL reserves beat Madron.
They're playing the Chilean mining league.
No, the New Zealand one.
I've not thought of
too soon.
Yes.
Well, this mining league, they managed to put out 7 players.
Yeah, they had 7 players. 6 of the Ilogan reserves scored over 6 goals.
Right.
apparently, they all had a nice drink in the clubhouse afterwards, though. It was all very friendly.
Oh, good.
So that's fine.
Well, so would I after beating 55-0.
Well,
the manager of the other team was actually embarrassed by it all, wasn't he? Didn't really know what to say to anyone reporting about it, and they've all asked to keep it out of the papers, haven't they?
What do you mean? What the manager.
So obviously, we're the team straight in the pot.
Yeah, it was just like, well.
Unsurprisingly, Madron are bottom of the league.
No, they're not. There's a team below them.
Oh, yeah, I bet
they are minus 223 goals, God. Though.
I was about to say, goal difference could be a factor later in the season.
There's a team below them. Gillingham. Played 9 last night and a minus 3. Because I looked this morning.
That was uncalled.
There's a team below them that played 9, lost 9, and on minus 3 points.
Oh, crying.
So, and they're probably in administration.
Thing is, if you were in that sort of game and you were sort of 26-0 down... Would you not just all walk off? Because you'd then forfeit the game. It'd be 3-0 defeat.
Yeah,
that's normally what happens. That'd be far better.
Obviously
than
fought through,
hanging around and getting pasted. Okay, that's not
but,
bad.
In
5-0. Do you know what the score was at half time?
I'm not 1-0. Sure now. Yeah.
They said win the second half. Lads.
Tactical substitutes.
55 goals.
What does it work out? A goal every how many seconds? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's about every
just over a minute
and a bit, isn't it? Because it probably takes longer for him to get the ball from the net to the centre circle than it did for him to get it from the centre circle back to the net again.
Yeah, bang. The keeper didn't turn up.
I would imagine
it lost 55.
I reckon
no
a couple must have been locked from the halfway line.
I just don't know.
Do you think they played Monkey Rush?
Monkey Rush, yeah. That's it. Okay, you said another one.
Other news, yes. this is going back to reality TV as well.
Dan's favourite.
You're addicted.
Pop Stars The Rivals. One True Voice. Anybody remember them? The band that were against Girls Aloud and Lost in the Charts.
I've seen this.
Louis Walsh was in charge of them, I believe, proving that you can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter.
One of their members, Matt Johnson, has been in court for threatening to kill former Everton and Wales defender Kevin Radcliffe.
Apparently they're neighbours in North Wales,
right?
And they've had a bit of dispute where Kevin Radcliffe has alleged that Matt Johnson threatened to kill him.
It's all going through the courts at the moment, isn't
it? Yeah, he's pleaded not guilty and been released on bail. The depressing thing is, this isn't even a hard boy band. This isn't even E17 or something. This is fucking the most pansy boy band ever.
Yeah, just a bit.
So,
mate, their mentor was Louis Walsh.
Exactly.
What did you expect to turn out?
Yeah.
Four of the hardest men you can find? Nah.
Nah. I've got another story here. UEFA, of course, are ready to sanction Jose Mourinho after those dodgy sendings off the other day. You saw those, yeah?
I haven't seen them yet, but I've heard that they're pretty awful.
They're quite interesting, yeah. I mean, you got to feel a bit sorry for the ref, because he can't do anything but send them off, but it was all ridiculous. But UEFA have been strangely quiet about another incident that's happened. Francesco Totti scored against Bayern Munich in the Champions League on the same night. He scored, he celebrated his game-turning penalty by, I'm going to say appearing to, because I don't want to get legally spanked over this, he appeared to turn towards the Bayern Munich fans and give a Nazi salute. Finger under the nose, hand in the air to simulate the old Hitler moustache. So, he was grabbed by an English journalist afterwards and said, can you tell us what that's all about? To which he replied in word-perfect English, I don't speak English.
Right.
So there you go. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with that.
Absolutely nothing.
You would think not. No, I mean, racial abuse gets you a fine of about 250 quid.
This is UEFA or FIFA you're talking about. They'll do absolutely nothing like the bunch of old doo-doo-doo that they really are. I went to swear there, but I didn't.
You did very well.
Mm.
We'll move on to our featured match of the week. You can join the Prediction League at predictorpro.com and join the Football Podcast League. We've got a few people on it now, so it's quite good. I think you might even be top.
I was top. I think I've now been overtaken.
I've been overtaken
by Oggy.
Yes, who recently started a week after us and he's already ahead of us.
I've got a feeling it might be one of my friends. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
You have friends?
Yeah, apparently.
There you go. It's maybe the other half of Diva Fever.
Yeah, there's two of us
But no, I think I'm just behind you in the league. I think you're beating me. So Jim, unsurprisingly, has yet to submit any kind of predictions. He's just not doing this. Dan, we need to get you involved in this, mate. Predictorpro.com.
Just do it once so you can finish above Jim.
Tweet me.
Yeah, I will. Okay. Featured match, which is the late afternoon kickoff on Sky Sports 1, is Sunderland v West Ham United.
West Ham again.
What a huge game to be our featured match.
It's a belter and no mistake.
Couldn't we have had United Blackpool?
We could, but...
Yeah, why didn't we have United Blackpool? I love Blackpool. Can I just say I love Blackpool, by the way?
I like Blackpool as well. I'm a big fan of their...
I don't want to go there, but I love
it. No, it's good.
Good night out, Blackpool.
I've bring your Stanley podcast.
I'm not doing it. I've heard some naughty stories.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But anyway...
Okay, fair dues. All right. Sunderland v West Ham. A score prediction from you, Mr. Ferdinand.
3-0 Sunderland.
3-0 Sunderland?
Like, yeah, they've got a good home record, and West Ham a pony.
Yeah, they are. Okay.
2-0 Sunderland.
Yeah.
Danny Welbeck to score one of them.
I was going to go...
Or is that John? Because Chris Kamara can't tell the difference.
No. I've gone for Sunderland to win 1-0. Because...
What?
Yeah, I think Sunderland will win. I just think that it'll be a grim game and it'll just be one goal probably.
Oh, it's going to be grim, but...
Your man, Asamoah Gyan, who is a bit of a favourite on this show because we like him for his stupid dancing.
I don't
dancing.
Like him.
Did you see Balo Zenden's dancing, by the way?
No.
Oh, dear. I'll find a YouTube of that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've all gone for a Sunderland win. You can join the...
I'm pretty confident the other two boys will say the same
thing. Yeah, you can join the Prediction League at predictorpro.com. Search for the Football Podcast League and get involved. Class and arse time, Dan.
Can I have two classes, please?
Okay.
There's one obvious one, and I'm going to pick him because he deserves it. Yeah. It's obviously Dimitar Berbatov.
Of course.
Five goals, fourth guy to do it. First non-Englishman.
Yeah.
Which I only worked out once they'd show me who the other ones were.
Yeah.
And my second class actually pains me to say it, but Harry Redknapp.
Yeah,
I think it's four wins on the bounce now, including us, a massive comeback against us, a massive comeback against Liverpool, and qualifying for the Champions League. You can't say fairer than that.
They're doing all right,
even though I hate the fact, but yeah, they're doing all right, aren't they?
Yeah.
An arse of the week. I've also got two, but they play for the same side. My arse of the week. I don't know if I'm probably right with this. You might have something different, but it's Fernando Torres and Dirk Kuyt.
Yeah.
And it's Fernando Torres because either side of half time he should have put Tottenham to bed and would have made me very happy. Oh. And Dirk Kuyt because the whole 90 minutes I think he made one good pass. It was abysmal performance from two international class players.
Maxi Rodriguez missed an absolute sitter.
Yeah, but Tottenham's he's rubbish.
But he does have that sort of saving grace that he is crap.
He is crap.
Yeah. So, okay, cool.
Unless you think of another arse, but.
No.
That's because it was just in my mind. There was
Mike could go for Harry Redknapp.
Yeah, Harry Redknapp. Looking like Droopy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my,
he does look like Droopy.
People say it's because of his car accident, but he looked like that before then.
Oh, no, before he looked like Jamie.
Oh dear.
He looked more like Louise. nice.
Right, you can hit our website at.
She had a cold the other day.
Did she?
Yeah, something wrong with her. It's probably because she's a veggie. Never, don't be a veggie.
My missus is a veggie. She's got a sore throat at the moment, yeah.
Thank you.
It's not down to veg. Leave that bit out.
Join us on the website at footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and that's us done this week.
I'm on Twitter.
Dan Ferdinand is on Twitter.
Or Backstick. Dan Ferdinand.
And Backstick Dan as well. Yeah. For any Backstick goal news.
I'm on Twitter.
You're on Twitter as well.
Yeah, Michael Coxon.
I'm on Twitter as well. Simon Head. Stuart's on, I think he's Horster.
Yeah.
Although I don't think he really gets
Twitter.
Jim's on Twitter. I don't think he ever uses it. So
Jim doesn't get it. It doesn't get computers.
No. Mm. So. That's us done this week. We may have a bit of a break because I'm going away for a couple of weeks, but we'll certainly be back. We'll certainly be back before the end of the year with maybe an end of year roundup. So make sure you follow Dan so that he keeps you up to speed with that. That's us done this week. We'll speak to you in a week or two's time.